The latest tips and equipment to improve your game.
Good to know.
The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Now, here's your host for Golf in the Northwest, Jason Swigert.
And a fine good morning to you all. Welcome in as we start to make the transition from spring to summer. Should be perfect weather here this weekend and into next week. Mid-70s, maybe we'll tease 80. Yesterday was a little warm, but courses are in ideal condition all around the area. We've had just enough rain here and there and cool-off days to keep things from getting too dried out too early here in the season. But should be great. For those of you that know, my home course is Forest Hills. I should be out there plenty here this weekend and into next week. The Hops are on a two-week roadie this week and next week. So I think we got enough business taken care of here at the station so I can get out and enjoy things in the afternoons. And if any of you are out there in the afternoons, please say hi. I love just whoever I hook up with if I don't have a crew of my own. People out there, so friendly. What makes it so much fun to be out there, I don't worry about it. I just let them know, hey, I'm available here. It's like, oh, I'm going to put you with these guys. And it's just fantastic. Everybody's always so pleasant, so nice, appreciative out there as Marcus and his crew continue to do a bang-up job reshaping, continuing to develop the course that's one of the oldest in the area. So hopefully I'll get to meet more of you out there. It's Big Will Betts here this morning, as you may have heard last week. Will Darkins, I have not heard. They were expecting number two. I think the due date was last week, some point in the week, but I have not got official word. I'm sure Luke may have it when he joins you for Center in the Saint.
If he got it, then he got it recently. I think Darkins is kind of keeping everyone in the dark. He's not he's not really being forthcoming right now. Fingers crossed.
Yes. Well, everything was online. It's number two. So, you know, no more mystery. They know what the process, the procedure is, and all of that. But we wish them the best. And the Ortner, Big Will's going to be with us here for the near future. Probably at least a month, maybe some more.
My understanding was we're starting at a month and then we'll figure it out from there.
We'll figure it out from there. Exactly. A lot of figuring it out. How's your golf game? Have you been getting, I know we've been, you know, you've got stuff going on. You're always filling in.
I'm running around. I was able to sneak
you're
out.
You're like the Pablo Torre of this station.
I'm always finding out, apparently. I did get to sneak out. We had a nice little scramble over at Camas Meadows
for
the Hawkinson football program.
Nice.
They did a great job. The boosters did a great job over there. It was a good time. Nice. Just a little best ball. We did not do so well. The coach's team got second to last. So
you know what? And when you're a head coach or you're coaches of a program, unless somebody was an actual stick, like, earlier in their lifetime, like they grew up playing the game as well as playing football, you would worry about the quality of football if all your coaches were out there just throwing darts left and right.
No, 100%. It was very much a group of guys where at the very first tee box, we all kind of looked at each other and like, I got one today. I'll get one good shot, but there ain't much coming after that. And if I get more than one, that's just gravy there. So it was good. I'm excited to get out. Once school ends, you got a couple more weeks of that.
Yes.
I'm going to sneak out a lot more. I got to go do some run around. I want to go see Chehalem Glen. I want to go see Stone Creek. I want to run around, see some courses that I haven't
gotten
a chance to. Mint Valley up my way. So I'm excited.
No. Well, it'll be fun. Hopefully we might be out at a few of those courses doing live shows here in the summer months. Couple of guests today. Josh Gaunt has been a local golf writer, writing for the blog or e-newsletter, whatever you want to call it, Oregon Golf Beat, really focusing in on local golfers. The state championships at all levels at high school were recently done. There's a pair of young ladies that won a USGA amateur event all within the last month. So there's some great pieces up. So Josh is going to hop on, kind of talk about some of these names in junior golf a lot, and all with full ride scholarships going to universities that are serious about collegiate golf. We saw the Oregon women coming up short. Yet again, getting to the semifinals, but Kiara Romero, after her run, she's the number three ranked amateur in the world for the women and made the cut this week as the U.S. Women's Open going on out at Erin Hills. So we'll talk to Josh about the state of junior golf here, some of the top names that you should be on the lookout for in the next few years. And then Hunter Westcott, our good buddy, he had been with Northwest Golf Guys and their simulator place. He has recently moved to Pumpkin Ridge. He is the director of player development out there. Excited to have him come back at 8:30 this morning in the business of golf. Talk about all of the opportunities. It's one of the great things. Pumpkin Ridge out there, one of the top courses. We've played professional events out there numerous times. The U.S. Women's Open has been out there a couple of different times. So one of the top facilities. But the great thing is you have a public and a private side. So the public gets to get out there and take advantage of what they do as well. So he'll talk to us about some of the programs that he's looking to do. And as the director of player development coming into an established golf facility like that, obviously you don't want to change things up too much, but bring something new, inject a little bit more life into it, and we'll find out what he's doing in that regard. But as we said, the big tournament this week, we've got a major, second major on the LPGA Tour, a signature event on the PGA Tour, so let's get at it. Let's get inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards, the latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest.
All right, four main tours going on this week. And we will start with the Champions Tour after back-to-back majors, both won by Angel Cabrera, El Pato, after doing his time in the clink out there in Argentina. I don't know how popular he's been received back there, but he is making up for lost time, whether you are a fan of his or not, winning the region's tradition last week. Or no, he won that 2 weeks ago. Then he went and won the Senior PGA Championship, played at Congressional. If you haven't seen Congressional, if you caught any of that on TV, it is one of the grand old courses. They're in Bethesda, right outside the district, and they have done some work to it. It is amazing. And I believe, I don't know if the U.S. Open or the U.S. Women's Open is headed out there in the coming years, but the USGA is going to be sending more championships that direction. But he is not in contention right now after round one. They are at the Wakanda Club in Des Moines, Iowa, for one of the long-standing tour stops there for the Champions Tour, the Principal Charity Classic. Miguel Angel Jimenez, 9-under as a one-shot lead over Cameron Percy, Thomas Bjorn, Jeff Schmid, they're at 7-under par. Miguel is among the leaders atop the Charles Schwab Cup and is looking to get another victory there. And so that will be going on today. 4 o'clock is when their coverage will kick in on Golf Channel. Korn Ferry Tour is in Raleigh, North Carolina, Raleigh Country Club for the UNC Health Championship presented by Stitch. 7,394 yards, just a par 70. Martin Laird, a veteran of the PGA Tour, back on the Korn Ferry Tour at age 48. He's trying to get back into PGA contention. They're finishing up the second round. Unfortunately, our man Alistair Daugherty did not make it at 2-under. Missed the cut, but Laird tied with Trace Crowe at 11 under. Philip Knowles, Pearson Cootie. Yes, that one of the grandsons of the great Charles Cootie. They are at 9 under par. And so you've got Martin Laird, who has won 4 times on the PGA Tour, trying to get his card back with a 565 in round 2. They are having a lightning, and they had to finish up the second round this morning to make that cut. They are back on the course, just starting the third round, trying to get things in and done before any more weather kicks in. That leads us to the Memorial Jack's tournament out there at Muirfield Village, a signature event. So most everybody is here. I know Rory's not there. I think Rory's just worn out. After he won the Masters, he got that career Grand Slam. You noticed he didn't play all that great at the PGA. I think he's taking a little time and trying to just recharge the batteries. He knows he's got the U.S. Open in a couple of weeks out at Oakmont. Then they're playing the Open Championship in his backyard at Royal Portrush. Then the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black. So those three events right there are what he is gearing up the rest of his season for. He is obviously amongst the leaders at the Tour Championship, which is going away from the staggered scoring. If you saw that this past week, it'll just go back. Everybody starts at even par, 72 holes, trying to determine a champion. We'll see. They keep messing with the FedEx Cup and the playoffs to try to make it perfect, and I don't know that it will ever be perfect in that regard. But at the Memorial this weekend, nobody hotter on the PGA Tour than Ben Griffin. He won for the first time on the PGA Tour in the team event with Andrew Novak at the Zurich back in April, right after the Masters. Louisiana. Then he won his first tour last week, his first individual tour last week at the Charles Schwab Challenge there at Colonial, and he's looking to win back-to-back, first one since Scotty did it last year when he had his ridiculous run. He's tied with Canadian Nick Taylor at 7 under par, but Ben Griffin is played his way all the way up to 5th now in the FedEx Cup standings. More importantly, he is charging up the Ryder Cup point standings, and Novak is up there. He's 8th. Now, the top 6 will be automatically qualified, and the top 4, I think, are locked. I don't know how they're going to fall. But if I am Keegan Bradley, not only are these guys playing great at the right time, but they already paired together to win a team title. If I am looking at Ryder Cup, Andrew Novak and Ben Griffin, I think, are just about on my list of locks as captain picks. We will see if he can continue it going. Scottie Scheffler right now is 4th at 4 under par as he continues to ramp up his play. He got the slow start to the season with the hand-cut injury with the shards of glass there that he wasn't able to play. So I think he's just rounding into form. Should be a formidable opponent, probably the favorite at the U.S. Open in a couple of weeks. That leads us to the Women's U.S. Open out at Erin Hills, which looks just wonderful. And a course that if you ever have the opportunity to get out there and play, I would go for that in 2 seconds. That'd be one said, hey, I got a foursome. I'm not asking what it costs at that point. I'm just going. Mao Saigo is your leader, 8 under par. Remember, she won the 5-way playoff at the first major of the year, the Chevron. The 2024 Rookie of the Year has a 3-shot lead over Nelly Korda, Hanako Shibuno, Sarah Schmelzel, Maya Stark, and Yalimi No, as well as A-Lim Kim, who is the only former U.S. champion up there in that group. So the U.S. Open has not been kind to Nelly Korda over the years. She carded her best round in a U.S. Open ever with a 567 in round 2 to play her way into contention. They had to finish up the second round this morning there to get everybody back. They are just starting to tee off, threesomes going off both tees. 10 a.m., you'll get stream coverage on the Peacock, and then at noon on NBC, they will pick up round 3 coverage. We'll talk about this a little later. Get Big Will Betts' thoughts on one who he likes. Nelly Korda needs to win this for the LPGA Tour as bad as anything they need to have happen this week.
100%. Because right now, when you look at that leaderboard, if you are a casual, and I very much am.
You are. None of those names mean anything to you.
It's Nelly Korda, and that's it. And yes. Nelly Korda might get me to tune in. It might get me away from some of the college baseball going on right now, or the college softball going on, or the Pacers and the Knicks. Like,
yep.
They need Nelly Korda to win, and honestly, they need to hope for someone else to go on a big, gigantic run from the back.
I think she's enough right there. If you look back, there's not a name. There is not another household name up there. There's a couple of former U.S. Open champions, Arya Jatanagarn, Minji Lee, Madeline Sangstrom from Sweden, who, if you've watched Solheim Cups, but no, you've got to go down to, boy, Lydia Ko is tied for 36th at even par. Is that a name?
No. I mean, maybe if she goes on like an improbable run, and then because of who she is, then you get a little bit of love because of how big of a run it would have to be.
Yep. We'll see.
They're in trouble.
And they need the weather to hold off. No afternoon thunderstorms would certainly help them. So that's what's going on the tours. We'll talk a little bit more about the U.S. Women's Open here at the end of the show. But when we come back, pleased to introduce to you Josh Gaunt, local golf writer, the Oregon Golf Beat, as well as some other publications. He joins us next here on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. Jason Swigart back here, Golf of the Northwest, as we quickly transition back to from the major tours, the professional tours here, to some local golf. Very pleased to have joining us for the first time, local golf writer Josh Gaunt, currently with the Oregon Golf Beat, but you've written for a lot of other publications and golf in the region. But we recently had our high school state championships, the OSAA state championships, as well as some U.S. GA championships featuring some younger players. But very pleased to have with us this morning Josh Gaunt. Good morning, Josh. Thanks so much for joining the show.
Yes. Thank you for having me on, Jason. Appreciate it. And a lot of great stuff going on with the Oregon youth golfers. With the OSA state championships, like you mentioned, and U.S. women's amateur four ball as well. So, yeah, what a great morning.
Yeah. Well, let everybody know a little bit. You know, you've been kind of, this endeavor is relatively new. It's been going for a little time, but you have been riding in you know, not only for golf, but other journalistic pursuits as well. But you're native here to the area for a while as well. Give everybody a little bit of background on how you came to this endeavor.
Yeah, so I started off as a sports reporter several years ago for the News Review, actually down in Roseburg area, and did that for a couple of years, and kind of led to another media company that I worked for called Roseburg Tracker, and did, you know, sports and media coverage for that for a while, and then ended up moving back to the Portland area, and just kind of was scoping out the media landscape, and didn't see a lot of, you know, coverage, as you know, in regards to you know, local golfers, amateur golfers, junior golfers, pros, et cetera. And so just felt like there was a niche for it, and you know, wanted to kind of be telling more people's stories, and you know, highlighting, you know, the game of golf in Oregon, and you know, trying to, you know, uplift the game, so to speak, by, you know, telling people stories and highlighting things that you know, could inspire or motivate, you know, others, or you know, even young kids who, you know, might be looking up to the high schoolers or the college age kids from Oregon, you know, who are doing things at those levels now. So,
well, we appreciate it, and certainly something that needs to be filled in the area. It takes a lot of time, and going back and forth, a lot of miles in the car to do it. OregonGolfBeat.com is where you can go. As we mentioned, the OSAA State Golf Championships have all happened here in the last couple of weeks, and the 6A Boys Champion went to Drew Woolworth at Lake Oswego back-to-back. He tied a 30. 40-year-old state record with an 11 under. This is a name anybody that's paid attention to local junior golf has heard about for a while. But I think the bigger surprise might have been at the 5A level. Freshman Connor Holden from Canby High School wins the individual title. He's got a little claim to fame too, having performed back at Augusta. As you look at both of these players, what stood out to you? We'll start with Drew, who I grew up with his dad. I played basketball at Lake Ridge High School with his dad way back in the day. So I know this family is extremely athletic. And Dean's such a great guy. What has stood out about Drew to you over the last, his career there at Lake Oswego? He's got one more year as well.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, at least, that stands out is back-to-back years winning by 8 strokes. That's a wide margin, to win the state championship by in back-to-back years. So it's showing just that he's playing at a really high level, the game and 11 under, like you mentioned, the tying the 30-year record for the state tournament at 11 under par for a two-day event, 36-hole event. Seems like he really has his game dialed in. And like I think you mentioned that he's going to be playing at Georgia in fall of 2026. So, big things ahead. Georgia took 22nd at the national championship. So a high level program where he's going to. So it seems like he is just really dialed in his game. And Lake Oswego High School boys team also won the team state championship. So, he had a team around him that was, contributing to that title as well. But, and then Connor, he seemed like he kind of had like a ho-hum couple of days, but still finished the tournament at even par to win the 5A state OSA state title. And he was actually the first player to win the drive, chip, and putt held at Augusta National in 2024. So he was the first player from Oregon to win that event. And there's a story up on the website about, that and just how he's, kind of risen, really quickly up the ranks. And for him to win it as a freshman, pretty special for him.
Well, and is he a freshman now? He does this. I'm wondering, we knew about Drew. We've known about Drew for a few years. But as far as, colleges, when do colleges, I don't know how much you've gotten into the recruiting piece of it. When do they start honing in on, especially the top programs, of somebody that might be worthy of a full ride scholarship?
Yeah, that's a great question. I believe Drew, announced last year when he was still a sophomore, that he was going to Georgia. So, I think it kind of might depend on the level, what level you're playing at. But Connor's probably going to be on some people's radars. I know he's part of the Callaway Next program, which Callaway Golf puts on and kind of helps, young golfers try to, establish their way, be a traveling to, various junior tournaments regionally or nationwide. And so I don't think Connor has been approached yet, but, as he kind of moves on to a sophomore year, I would expect him to be being approached, soon or maybe in the next year or so.
Yeah, and we'll see if he plays in some of the bigger junior tournaments throughout the summer, if he is able to get anybody's attention. Talking here with Josh Gaunt, OregonGolfBeat.com, covering local golfers. And I think the biggest story, though, and these are probably names very few people know unless they're out there at their courses playing golf. Natalie Yen and Asia Young have teamed up and won the U.S. Women's Amateur Four Ball, which is a newer-ish event run by the USGA, but both teenagers, and so they will be exempt. The U.S. Women's Amateur is going to be at Bandon Dunes here, but what a thrill for them. What have you found out about them? One is already, are they both lined up with college scholarships, or just one of them so far?
It's just Natalie Yen so far. She's going to Texas A&M in the fall. And so a big time program as well. That program made the NCAA regional, but they just missed the cut, I think, by one spot in making it to the actual NCAA championship. So a team that's right there. Asia Young, I think she's getting close to that time as well. I think she's 16, so she's getting kind of close to that timeline. And she's hinted at wanting to play somewhere where she can play year round. So
yeah, no question. How did these two hook up? Because Natalie's from Westland and Asia's from Bend. So do you know the story of how they got together as a team?
No, that's a great question. I didn't come across that. But they had played in this event last year, in the U.S. Women's Amateur Four Ball, and they lost. So they made it to through stroke play and then into the first day of match play, and they ended up losing, I think, in 19 holes on the first day. So they had, you know, the experience of playing in the tournament before, but then they were, you know, I think that camaraderie and the, you know, their friendship, because, you know, they've said that they're friends before they even, you know, were teammates. So somehow, maybe even through the game of golf, connected them somehow via tournaments or, you know, playing in events. Kind of an interesting combo, Westland and Bend, yeah, coming together to, you know, bring home the trophy.
Well, again, all these articles are up at OregonGolfBeat.com. And unfortunately we're cutting it close here on time, Josh. We'll definitely have to hook back up later in the season. What are you looking forward to here? What's next? You know, the high school season is over now. I think we had the Oregon Junior going on at the OGA course or this weekend, but what are you looking for? What are the big junior events for local golfers coming up here soon?
Yeah. The OGA Junior Golf has a ton of they have a lot of majors going on this summer, and then I think, like you mentioned, the PGA section of Junior Championship is going on today and tomorrow at OGA, and then that whoever I think the winners and the runners up qualify for the National PGA Junior Championship, which would be later this summer, and then also there's an amateur event for in June that the winner of that event goes on to play at the Portland Classic. That's coming up in June as well, and that's at Columbia Edgewater. But just those are the main things, and then probably regional junior tournaments as well that are kind of on the West Coast.
Fantastic. Well, if you haven't subscribed and you want to know who are some of the names here locally to find out about or keep an eye on, go to OregonGolfBeat.com. Josh Gott, thank you so much for taking a few minutes for us here this morning. And I think as the summer goes on, we'll definitely catch back up and see if there's some more names to add to this list.
Yes. Yes, I think there's a lot more to come from Oregon, and definitely great thing. So thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
There you go. Thanks, Josh. And we will follow up with Josh. And again, the articles are up at OregonGolfBeat.com, as well as George Fox, the D3 program down there, when it finished fourth at the D3 NCAA Golf Championships, and Allison Takamiya taking third place individually. So just a great resource there. And a lot of time and effort goes into hunting those stories down. When we come back, we're making the turn. Time to turn our attention back to your game and developing it, whether you are an experienced single-digit handicap, whether you're just getting into it, whether you're trying to get your kids or other family members into it. Hunter Westcott, our buddy, was with Northwest Golf Guys. He is now the PGA Associate Director of Player Development for Pumpkin Ridge Golf Club. He joins us talking about a lot of different programs and ways to improve your game. He joins us next, making the turn here. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Which new driver is best for your game? Who makes the best golf gear? Where should you take your next golf vacation? Which local course should you get to know better? This is the Business of Golf, every week on Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
8:31 here, Golf in the Northwest, Center and Saint following us. And then tonight, 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock tip, game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the NBA playoffs. And we'll see if the Pacers can close out the Knicks or if it'll be game 7 on Monday back at MSG. Ducks baseball, they had a controversial loss in their opener of the Eugene Regional. So they are in the loser's bracket this morning taking on Cal Poly. That'll be a noon first pitch. It'll be over on 910 beginning at 11:45. But it is time for the Business of Golf, which means we are having back on Hunter Westcott, PGA Associate Director of Player Development, now over at Pumpkin Ridge. We talked to him last year on the show and heard all about kind of his journey growing up here at Westview, playing some great high school golf and going all the way to Dominican College back in New York delivered them to heights that they had not yet been with that golf program. But now is over at Pumpkin Ridge, and I know you had a blast with the Northwest Golf guys, Hunter, but, you know, obviously working in their simulation setup that they had, but how is it to go from that all the way over to Pumpkin Ridge, which has hosted championships at all different levels?
Oh, man. Well, thank you for having me on again, man. I really appreciate it. And, yeah, I mean, this whole year has been kind of crazy from the get-go. You know, Golf Guys has taken care of me for the last 3 years, and it was a great transition over to Pumpkin. You know, they were very supportive of everything, but man, the atmosphere to be around a course that's, you know, got an incredible history with, you know, Tiger being probably the big one out there, but just being around both Ghost and Witch out there, and all of the staff, you know, John Kwasa really keeping us humble.
Yep.
No, it's been fantastic. Transition's been amazing.
Well, and how is it now coming in to both, you know, one of the unique facilities that both handles public play as well as has a private membership and its own course over there? What's been the biggest adjustment trying to develop programs for both sides of the house?
Oh, no, yeah. So for me, with clinics and getting ready to kind of open up more as the year goes on here, you know, being able to target our members and make sure that the members know that there's clinics available to them, being able to help them develop their games and get better. You know, Operation 36 has been a big one for me. It's a great way to kind of start people out instead of teeing it up for the back tees. They get to move up and, you know, start close to the green and develop their game going backwards. That one's been a huge one. And honestly, the members have let me know that they want more. So I'm working my hardest to try to add as much as I can. But then, you know, I've got other ideas kind of in the books right now, but, you know, it's going to be accessible to both public and private. So really open to anyone, that's looking to kind of develop their game and get better. You know, I am, all available to everyone in whatever they need: putting, chipping, driving accuracy, understand how to play on the course. You know, everything is available to everyone, and I hope to be there for everybody and whatever they need.
Well, yeah, and I'm the Operation 36 is not, I think, I'm wondering if you have some program set up for people that know the game, like they've been out there, they understand how etiquette works and you know, some of those sorts of rules, as opposed to brand new players or newer-ish players, but they're wanting to focus in on, okay, that's where you score and your swing's your swing at this, you know, for at some point, But really honing in, or maybe, you know, something's happened. You've had shoulder surgery. You've had to alter your swing from what it was due to this, that, or the other thing. Are there Operation 36 for experienced players?
Yeah. You know, Operation 36 is great just because it is open to anybody of any skill level. But usually once I get players that have kind of advanced kind of past the Operation 36 level, I tend to get more into the one-on-one stage where we start to really talk about their game, especially if they've had injuries or something like that. I want to make sure that when we talk about getting better, that it's more specialized towards them. You know, if they have a shoulder problem and they cannot get into a normal position or what, you know, the typical golf swing look,
yeah,
right? I want to make it more specific to them, and I want them to understand why we're going down that route. And, you know, when they go play the courses, especially for the more experienced players or the, you know, the single digit handicappers, I want to make sure that they're understanding course management. How do you navigate bunkers and water? Why do we take this club versus this club? And some of that, you start to develop in Operation 36. As you start to move back, you know, obstacles start to come into play. You start seeing a couple bunkers that are greenside. And then you start to, maybe as you get farther back, see more water hazards come into play. But especially for those more advanced players, I like to go more one-on-one, and then you start to do more on-course management and understanding how to kind of navigate.
Chatting here with Hunter Westcott, the Director of Player Development now over at Pumpkin Ridge Golf Club, joining them in April. So just a few months on the job. He's still still figuring out where the paperclips are to a certain extent. also continuing to play very competitively, fourth right now in the year-long race amongst the OPGA, the pros, the tournaments that you guys compete in here in the area, and always looking to keep the golf game sharp. Where is your game at? And it's a familiar list for people. I think most of these guys have been on the show. Jared Lambert out there at Astoria's third, Scott Erdman over at OLCC in fifth, and Chad Fribley from Persimmon there in first place, all have been guests with us over the years. So where's your game at, and how has it changed, and how is having you know, kind of a new job affected your ability to practice and keep it sharp?
Oh yeah, no, that list. So the Player of the Year list has been awesome to keep track of, and you know, I got a couple messages after last year's Player of the Year kind of awards coming out, and a lot of congratulations. But then obviously the immediate switch was, it's not going to be that easy next year. I got a big target on my head after last year. So, no, it's been awesome. And honestly, you know, Chad Fribley, Nick Huff, Jared, Scott, and honestly, that list goes deep too. Jesse Heinle, there's a lot of extremely talented players in the Oregon chapter. And for me, like, trying to get my game in shape, you know, because all these guys are kind of target hunting and shooting some fantastic scores, you know, a lot of 67, sixes, fives, it's definitely making you have to score, have to go low, have to compete. And so, you know, we've got a couple of events coming up with the Callaway Invitational, we got the Oregon Open. And so, you know, getting my game in check is definitely a big one. I conveniently cracked my driver on Friday, so that was probably a good start.
Oh.
So, yeah, there's a couple of things that I need to get tuned up real quick, or, you know, TaylorMade's helping me out and getting that fixed up. But, yeah, the whole year has been great, and these guys are out to get ahead or something. So it's been fun.
Well, yeah, and as you mentioned, won the Player of the Year a season ago. as you start to gear up for these bigger events, as we get into summer and your local course or club starts building towards their big club championships, their bigger events. A lot of them do U.S. Open style events where they will get the greens as fast as they go, maybe let the rough grow more, those sorts of things. What are assuming you have been playing regularly and you're not starting from scratch too late, what are the things now that you will move into to make sure your game is sharp and you're looking to score as opposed to just working on mechanics and fundamentals maybe earlier in the spring?
Yeah, I think, and I think this goes for not just me, but, you know, all players when they're trying to get better as the year goes on, you know, summer kicks in, you know, the rough at most courses starts to get a little bit thicker. The greens start to get a little bit firmer. And so I think, and this goes for all players, you know, real big emphasis on short game, being able to navigate greens and get up and down when you miss the greens. You know, a good iron player is going to take advantage of being in fairways, whereas the rough gets thick. And so it's going to be hard to hold those greens. And so, you know, as the summer starts to kick in, I think, you know, myself as well as other players included, got to be focused on the short game, be a good putter, be a good chipper, get out of trouble. That's going to save you so many strokes over this year.
And we know on the private side, having been out there when the Winco Foods Portland Open used to be there with the Korn Ferry Tour, the great short game practice area that's there. But on the public side, again, in addition to the driving range, it's a full, you know, short game area. I know there's some bunkers over to the left there. What, how can the public take advantage of all the facilities there to work on the short game?
Yeah, no, with Ghost, you can definitely take advantage. It is full access. So the range, you'd have to pay for balls like any other course, but short game wise, the putting green is massive. So it's a great way where you can kind of go and seclude yourself a little bit and not be bothered by people. If you wanted to kind of put yourself away in a corner, you can go and just practice putting nonstop. And there's a lot of slopes on those greens, so you can practice big breaking putts or, you know, those short 3-footers that get a little testy when when you absolutely need them. But otherwise, no, the chipping area, same thing, full access. You can go over there. There's a bunker on the backside, so when you need to work on those sand shots, it's nice. There's a big lip to it, as well as, you know, a lot of really good areas around the green where there's some hills that you got to chip down, chip up, you know, what happens when the ball's below your feet. So you can really test out a bunch of different kind of positions you could be in on the golf course, but full access to everybody.
I got to imagine superintendents around the area have been dancing most of this spring. It has been as mild and even. We haven't had the extremes into the spring that we've experienced the last few years. So I got to imagine the course is as pristine as we've seen it at this time of the year in quite some time.
Oh, yeah. No, this course is in. Well, both courses are in incredible shape. I remember when they punched those greens, it feels like they healed up in like 4 days. I mean, it was crazy watching them grow so fast. And then, you know, they love to keep the green speeds up out there. So they are not slow. No. They are moving great and they are rolling very smooth. So if you want a good place to come out and practice, I mean, you're not going to find much purer than these.
When you're working with somebody, a putting is where I probably struggle the most consistently, and it's with green speed. So obviously, have you found any sort of training aids, training guides, drills that you like to help people get there and be able to gauge speed?
Yeah. Yo, you're talking my language, man. Putting is my thing. That's my favorite area. So especially with green speeds, as these greens start to get faster, you know, there's a couple different ways to kind of look at it. You could look at your putting stroke, which I know a lot of people will probably go straight to that as like a how to fix the problem. And sometimes, you know, I love to use visual aids instead. one of the big ones is as you start to get out those 25 and 30 foot ranges and beyond, right? We're just trying to get the ball close to the hole. And so what I love to do is I like to take an alignment stick and just lay it out about 3 feet behind the cup and see how many times you can take, you know, take 10 balls, drop them out from 20 plus feet and just see how many putts you can get to stop between the cup and that alignment stick. First couple times might get away from you, but over time you're going to start to develop a little bit more feel and, you know, how fast are they moving. And sometimes when that's the end goal is just stop it before the alignment stick, your speed is going to get very, very under control quickly.
There you go. For people that are interested, that aren't already members out there at Pumpkin Ridge, whether it's the Operation 36 programs that you've got, maybe some individual stuff going on, would like some lessons, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Yeah, anyone can get in touch with me at my email. My email is hwescott, that's W-E-S-C-O-T-T, at pumpkinridge.com.
Fantastic. Well, I may be coming to see you for some putting because it's driving me absolutely up the wall here as we get into things, but hopefully a few more. And we'll look forward to watching you. I know we're keeping an eye on the Callaway Invitational, the Oregon Open, some of the other bigger events here for the club pros in the region. So hopefully we'll see your name up top of leaderboards as well. Hunter Wescott, the new Director of Player Development out at Pumpkin Ridge. Congratulations on that, and we look forward to chatting with you again down the road.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and I'll see you at Pumpkin soon.
Hopefully, very much so. Thanks so much, Hunter. There we go, Hunter Wescott. And yes, very excited and an easy guy, as you can tell there, if you're looking to really develop parts of your game, the short game. We've talked to him on a couple of different occasions and have met with them and just loves the game, loves to teach the game. And so head on out again, pumpkinridge.com. You can just go there about the courses, tee times, rates, all that. Look for golf and the instruction. And then H. Wescott with two T's at pumpkinridge.com if you're wanting to get in touch with Hunter. When we come back, they are underway. Round three, the U.S. Women's Open, the 80th edition of it. The leaders will be teeing off in about an hour. Mao Saigo looking to double up with majors, but Nelly Korda leads a backlog of players at 5 under par. Can she keep it going from her 5 under round yesterday and get her first victory of the season? We'll discuss how much the LPGA Tour needs that to happen as we wrap things up. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. Jason Swigart back here wrapping things up. Thanks again to Hunter Wescott and Josh Gaunt for joining us this morning. We'll post the podcast if you want to go back and catch any pieces of those. Those will be posted after the show. But it is U.S. Open week for the women, the 80th edition, playing Erin Hills. Hopefully the weather cooperating. And we're seeing some low numbers, a couple of players 2 under here in the opening holes as they had to finish up the second round this morning. There was thunderstorms and lightning late in the day on Friday, but they are headed out split tees. And so the leaders, your final group is Mao Saigo, who is your leader, 8 under par, won the Chevron earlier this year, the 2024 Rookie of the Year on the LPGA Tour. Nelly Korda at 5 under and Hanako Shibuno, also from Japan, at 5 under. Sarah Schmelzel and Maya Stark, Yalimi No, the other players at 5 under. They're in the second to last group. And A-Lim Kim at 5 under, the only previous U.S. Open winner that is in the top 10 on the leaderboard. You got to go down. Arya Jutanagarn at 3 under, currently tied for 14th. Has won one. Minji Lee has won one at 2 under. Inji Chun at 1 under. And one other American, Allison Corpuz, a few years back, made the cut at +1. Do want to shout out Kiara Romero, the sophomore from the University of Oregon, who led them to a semifinal appearance at the NCAA Women's Golf Championship, won the Big Ten Tournament, won the NCAA Regional. She did make the cut on the number at plus one and will be teeing off later this morning. So congratulations to her. One of three or four amateurs to make the cut. But all those names I just rattled off there, Big Will, any of them besides Nelly Korda that you have ever heard of?
No. Again, I'm not trying to be a jerk.
It's no, just... and I'm asking this for a reason. I mean, you are interested in golf.
I enjoy golf. I enjoy watching golf. If it is a... I mean, sometimes if it's not even a big tournament with the men, I'll tune into it. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, if the, you know, big two to three women golfers aren't in the hunt, I don't know that I'm going to tune in.
Yeah, Lexi Thompson, who is not playing a full season anymore, did not make the cut at plus three. Jennifer Kupcho at plus three. Rose Zhang, who has taken some time off this year at plus two, trying to get her game back together. None of them made the cut. And then some of the names that people might know from years past, not even in the field this year. And so the LPGA, now with its new commissioner, Craig Kesler, coming over from the PGA of America, she needs to win this, quite frankly, for the LPGA right now. Needs to draw a little attention to them as they get into their summer schedule. They will have the LPGA Championship coming up, and then the two in Europe, the Evian and the Women's Open Championship. She's going to have to be a little bit Tiger-esque and see if she can go on the run she did last year when she dominated, to help draw more attention so people can learn more about some of the great young names and players that are out there performing. But, you know, she's going to have to be all boats rise with the, she's going to have to be the rising tide for the LPGA Tour, and she needs to win this weekend. So Agreed. There you go. We'll see. We'll follow it up next week, see how we do. We'll turn it over. Thanks, Will. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Luke is waiting in the wings for another edition of Sinner and Saint. Until then, I'm Jason. Hit 'em straight.